Some downtown Lansing residents are being watched intently for signs of courtship. The saga of the peregrine falcons who live at the Board of Water and Light's Eckert Power Station continues with some new twists, and Current State's Melissa Benmark has more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. The bird lovers have been following the saga of Eckert and Viper, a pair of falcons who've been living at the BWL, and it seems that the lead falcon maven is BWL employee Dina Mandeville. She's become the resident falcon expert at the company, and I talked to her this week about her interest in the falcons and what's been happening with them lately.
I'm an accountant with the Board of Water and Light, and then when the falcons showed up at the building, and I thought, well, if they're endangered, someone needs to do something. So I jumped right on it, and I've been helping.
So they just chose the building of their own accord. They just showed up one day.
Mm-hmm. Because the falcon likes a very high nesting site, so that they, when they have their young, they can fledge successful. When the higher, the better. 10th floor, 12, 14 stories.
So the last time we talked to you for Current State, there was a mating pair, Eckert and Viper, and were they able to have chicks last year, do you know?
They actually laid 3 eggs together in April. 45 days later, when they weren't hatching, MSU came with their candling system, and all 3 were infertile. So we removed the eggs and hoped for a reclutch. They did not reclutch. We were hoping, just like 2013, it was the same scenario. So we haven't had any fledging and successful brood since 2012.
From where you are in the Board of Water and Light, can you see the nest?
I can in 2 ways. With the naked eye, I can just look over at the building. You see wink and blink and a nod. And then it's the nest is facing the east. And if you're on the river trail over by Morris Park Pool, there's a picnic table. You sit there and just look up there. You can see them diving, hunting. You can hear them talking to each other. Yeah. And then, of course, with our system, we've got 2 cameras mounted at the nest, and we can pan and tilt and zoom into the nest. So I have that capability at my desk to watch the activity, zoom into the legs, you know, and try and figure out where that adult has fledged from to come to Lansing in their migration. So really fun to keep track of them.
So you're looking at some bands maybe that biologists have put on them from elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. Right. Michigan DNR, Karen Cleveland, comes to our location when our babies are 3 weeks old, bands their legs, and then they get to go, you know, fledge wherever they want to in migration. Because they're endangered in Michigan, they're just trying to track them and make sure that they're going to survive and be successful. And that's what we're doing with the Board of Water and Light to help bring back the population.
Well, I understand there's a new bird in town. Tell us about this handsome stranger.
Actually, I've been looking at some of the footage, has become an adult female. It's not a male. I've been looking at the footage for the last 3 days over the weekend, and it looks like she is a great big female. Eckert is the male that's been at our nest since 2012. He showed up. And so, yeah, we are missing Viper. Viper was our 1-year-old from Windsor, Ontario, and I haven't seen her on the footage for about 2 weeks now.
So you've got 2 females, no visible male. Do the females generally get along, or do they seem to at least be tolerating each other?
Actually, we've got 1 male, 1 female at the nest right now. The unbanded is a female, and Eckert is the male. But if another female comes through Lansing in migration, they will either, you know, try to defend the nest or steal the nest. They'll have aerial fights. They can lock talons. One will leave forever. One could die. We had a death in 2007. Alamac had died when another male came into town, and they fought. And I took him out to MSU. He was taken to the museum. Yeah.
So he got evicted. Yeah.
Yes.
This sounds really stupid, but, I mean, you're talking about already an endangered bird, so there's not that many of them. Lansing is a big place. Do we know anything about how these birds find each other? I mean, you know, they can't just go to lovebirds.com or something. You know, how do they find each other?
They're the fastest creature on Earth, and they can dive over 200 miles an hour. So when they're in their migration, you know, at a steady pace, they're going 30 and 40 miles an hour. And if they're going to try and look for a meal, they'll see that another peregrine is protecting their nest. They don't want another nest within 5 miles of their nest. In 2004, MSU had the stadium built. They had a nest out there, which was about 5 miles from the Eckert Power Plant. So they had success in 2004, but not since. And in Lansing, we don't have really a 5 mile as a crow flies perching. There's the Bogie and there's the Capitol, but that's still pretty close to another pair of peregrine.
So if all were to go well, which it sounds like a few things would have to fall into place,
right.
When would you expect to see eggs?
Yeah, they will be in courtship now, all of February and March. In Lansing, our eggs usually are laid in April, and then in May they will hatch. The DNR will band their legs in June, and they start to fledge at the end of July and August. So last year we had April 15th was our first egg laid, and then the year before that was April, I think it was the 1st, and then back at the end of March in 2012. So could be in the next, you know, 2-3 months we'll see some eggs.
What are the webcams again?
There's lbwl.com, and at the top you click on Community Impact and scroll to the bottom for the kids, and you can link to the Falcon cams. And if you're looking at the cameras, you see the peregrine with no bands. That's the female. And if you see bands on the legs with, like, green and purple, that's the male. The male is a little smaller than the female, a third the size. He's a tercel. So if you see a great big fluffy one, that's the female. Kids at Morse Park, they helped collect their pennies in 2007 in the fall, and they helped to connect the cameras. Hopefully they're still watching, too.
Oh, that's very cool. Now,
yeah.
I'm assuming that pigeons are, given their plentifulness in downtown, are sort of the food
yes.
of choice?
Exactly. Because the peregrine will hunt in the sky, that's their meal. They'll go about a mile up. They'll see their meal. They'll lock their talons. They make a fist. They dive. They catch right in midair. And then they'll go and eat their meal. It doesn't have to be a pigeon. It could be, I saw a coot up there. I saw a green heron up there. They eat a bigger type of a bird. They won't eat a snake or a rabbit. That's not the way they hunt.
Small critters ever, like mice or voles? Or
unless it's on the roof of a building and it just snatches it. But they just won't go to the ground. That's not the style of their hunting.
So unless the mice are flying, they're
not. Okay. A bat. I mean, I saw on one of the other cameras that they had found a bat, but
oh, that's interesting. They don't look like they'd have much meat on their bones, but
just probably scared them, probably. I don't know.
Right. Well, Dana Mandeville, thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck. I hope there are baby falcons in your immediate future.
Thank you so much.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.